In a world where history has been written predominantly by men, Anita Diamond's The Red Tent stands as a revolutionary reclamation of female narrative. This international bestseller has sold millions of copies in over 25 languages since its 1997 publication, finding its way onto Oprah's influential reading lists and eventually becoming a television miniseries. The novel gives voice to Dinah, a peripheral biblical figure whose story in Genesis 34 is defined solely by violence and vengeance. Through Diamond's reimagining, this silenced woman finally speaks, revealing the rich tapestry of female experience that history has long overlooked. As Emma Watson once noted after reading it, The Red Tent reminds us that the stories we think we know are often just fragments of much larger, more complex narratives waiting to be told. The Red Tent represents the physical and spiritual sanctuary where women of Jacob's tribe gather during menstruation and childbirth. This crimson-hued space serves as both literal shelter and metaphorical womb where women's stories, traditions, and wisdom are preserved and transmitted. Within its fabric walls, the women share intimate tales of their youth, love affairs, and childbirth experiences, creating an oral history that stands in stark contrast to the patriarchal narrative of the Bible. The tent's very color evokes the blood mysteries of womanhood, fertility, and the cycle of life that connects generations of women. "Had I been asked to speak," Dinah tells us in the prologue, "I would have begun with the generation that raised me." This statement establishes the novel's central purpose, to reclaim women's stories from the margins of history. Through Dinah's voice, we learn of her mothers, Leah, Rachel, Zilpah, and Bilhah, whose complex relationships and individual struggles shape the narrative landscape. The Red Tent becomes a powerful symbol of female solidarity and resistance against erasure, a place where women's experiences are validated and celebrated rather than dismissed or forgotten. Here, mothers teach daughters the ancient ways of midwifery, the secrets of herbs and healing, and the sacred rituals that mark life's transitions. What makes this space revolutionary is its complete autonomy from male influence. Here, women worship goddesses alongside the God of Abraham, maintaining their own rituals and spiritual practices that honor feminine divine power. They speak freely about subjects considered taboo in the larger community: sexuality, menstruation, childbirth, and death. The tent represents an alternative power structure where women's knowledge is recognized as valuable and sacred. During their monthly gatherings, women share remedies for ailments, discuss dreams and their interpretations, and pass down songs and stories that preserve their collective memory. Through this symbolic space, Diamant challenges readers to consider how much of women's history has been lost, silenced, or deliberately erased from official records. The Red Tent becomes a powerful metaphor for the hidden transcripts of female experience that run parallel to, yet separate from, the dominant historical narrative. Within its walls, women maintain their own calendar marked by lunar cycles, celebrate their own festivals, and honor their ancestors through stories that would otherwise be forgotten. The tent serves as both refuge and resistance, a space where women's voices echo through generations, preserving truths that patriarchal histories have overlooked or suppressed. The Red Tent's significance extends beyond its physical presence to represent a timeless tradition of women supporting women, sharing wisdom, and maintaining their own cultural identity despite external pressures to conform to patriarchal norms. It stands as a testament to the resilience of female communities and the enduring power of stories told from woman to woman, mother to daughter, generation to generation.
"I had four mothers," Dinah tells us, establishing the novel's most radical departure from the biblical account. Rather than competitors for Jacob's favor, Leah, Rachel, Zilpah, and Bilhah form a complex sisterhood that nurtures Dinah and shapes her understanding of womanhood. Each mother represents a different facet of feminine strength and wisdom. Leah, Dinah's birth mother, embodies practical leadership and resilience. Despite being the unloved wife, she manages the household with efficiency and bears most of Jacob's sons. Her story demonstrates how women create meaning and power beyond romantic love.
Leah gave birth in arrogance, Dinah observes, acknowledging both her mother's fertility and her pride in her capabilities. Rachel, the beautiful, beloved wife, represents feminine allure and healing wisdom. As a skilled midwife, she holds power over life and death, commanding respect even from those outside the tribe. Her struggle with infertility humanizes her beauty, showing how women's worth is often tragically reduced to reproductive capacity. Zilpah, the mystic, introduces Dinah to spirituality and storytelling. Through her, we see how women preserved religious traditions that honored female deities alongside male gods. Her twin sons represent her dual nature, both practical and mystical. Zilpah made me think, Dinah says, acknowledging how this quiet mother expanded her intellectual horizons. Bilhah, the gentle listener, teaches Dinah compassion and the power of bearing witness. Her ability to comfort others despite her own losses represents emotional intelligence as a form of strength. Bilhah listened, Dinah tells us, recognizing how this seemingly passive act creates space for other stories to exist. Together, these women demonstrate that feminine power takes many forms beyond the limited roles patriarchal society assigns to women. Their complex relationships, marked by both competition and deep solidarity, offer a nuanced portrayal of sisterhood that acknowledges conflicts while emphasizing the ultimate strength women find in supporting one another. Dinah's journey from childhood to womanhood unfolds in a cultural borderland where Canaanite, Mesopotamian, and Egyptian traditions intersect with the emerging monotheistic beliefs of her father. This liminal position allows her to observe and question the gender norms that constrain women's lives across different societies. The rich tapestry of beliefs she encounters, from the fertility rites of Canaan to the complex pantheon of Egyptian deities, shapes her understanding of spirituality and womanhood in ways that transcend any single tradition. Her childhood is marked by unusual freedom as the only daughter among 12 sons. She moves between male and female spaces, learning both shepherding from her brothers and domestic arts from her mothers. In the fields, she learns to tend sheep, read weather patterns, and navigate by stars, skills typically reserved for sons. In the women's quarters, she masters weaving, food preparation, and herbal medicine. This dual education gives her a broader perspective than most women of her time, allowing her to see how artificial many gender divisions truly are. Through Joseph, her closest brother, she gains access to Jacob's religious teachings, while through her mothers, Leah, Rachel, Zilpah, and Bilhah, she learns the goddess traditions that predate Abraham's God. Each mother contributes unique wisdom. Leah teaches her the old songs, Rachel shares healing arts, Zilpah reveals ancient stories, and Bilhah instructs her in dream interpretation. The red tent becomes central to Dinah's development, serving as both sanctuary and classroom. Her coming-of-age ceremony there marks her transition to womanhood with elaborate rituals honoring female fertility and sexuality. The women anoint her body with henna and oils, creating intricate patterns that tell stories of feminine power. They feed her special foods, honey cakes, dried fruits, and spiced wine, each carrying symbolic meaning. "They fed me by hand with choice morsels," she recalls, describing how they massaged my neck and back until I was supple and sang every song known among us. This celebration stands in stark contrast to Jacob's discomfort with female biology and his attempts to distance himself from women's mysteries. As she matures, Dinah becomes Rachel's apprentice in midwifery, gaining knowledge that gives her independence and purpose. This apprenticeship represents an alternative path to power for women, through healing knowledge rather than marriage or motherhood. She learns to read bodies, understand herbs, and guide new life into the world. Her training includes both practical skills and sacred traditions, the prayers whispered during difficult births, the proper way to tie the cord, the secrets of easing labor pains. These skills eventually allow her to support herself in Egypt after tragedy strikes, proving that women's knowledge can transcend cultural boundaries. Dinah's journey illustrates how women throughout history have navigated patriarchal constraints by creating meaning through female-centered knowledge and community. Her story reveals the existence of parallel worlds, the official male-dominated sphere, and the hidden but powerful realm of women's wisdom and solidarity. Her coming-of-age story reminds us that even in deeply restrictive societies, women have found ways to celebrate their bodies, preserve their traditions, and pass on their sacred knowledge from mother to daughter across generations. In the biblical account, Dinah appears merely as the victim of rape by a Canaanite prince, a brief, violent episode used to justify her brother's revenge. Diamond boldly reimagines this story as a passionate love affair that fundamentally challenges tribal boundaries and patriarchal control over women's sexuality. When Dinah accompanies her mothers to assist with a difficult birth in Shechem, she encounters Prince Shalem in the city's bustling marketplace. Their initial meeting crackles with mutual attraction, marked by lingering glances and subtle gestures that quickly evolve into a profound connection. Their relationship represents a direct rebellion against the strict endogamy practiced by Jacob's tribe, where marriages were carefully arranged to preserve bloodlines and tribal alliances. By choosing Shalem, a foreigner and unbeliever in her father's eyes, Dinah asserts her sexual autonomy and rejects the carefully orchestrated marriages her brothers have accepted without question. Their passionate encounters, described with rich, sensual detail unusual for biblical fiction, celebrate female desire rather than condemning it. "We made love with great tenderness," Dinah recalls of their last night together, acknowledging female pleasure without shame or apology. These intimate scenes serve to humanize their relationship, transforming it from a tale of violation into one of mutual desire and respect. The cultural clash between Canaanite and Hebrew customs becomes particularly evident through Renifer, Shalem's Egyptian-born mother. In her world, women move with greater freedom, own property, and participate actively in religious and social life. Renifer's arrangement of the marriage, according to her own customs, bypassing Jacob entirely, represents a direct challenge to Hebrew patriarchal authority. She introduces Dinah to a different model of womanhood, one where female agency is celebrated rather than suppressed. When Jacob demands all Shechemite men undergo circumcision as a condition for the marriage, what should be a sacred covenant becomes instead a weapon of cultural dominance. The brothers' subsequent massacre of the recovering Shechemites, carried out while the men are vulnerable and unable to defend themselves, reveals the violent extremes patriarchy will employ to maintain control over women's bodies and sexuality. This act of brutality serves not just as revenge, but as a warning to other women who might dare to choose their own paths. Through this reimagined love story, Diamond expertly explores how women's sexual choices have historically been policed through violence justified by claims of religious and cultural purity. Dinah's defiance in choosing love across cultural boundaries threatens the entire patriarchal system her brothers are invested in maintaining. Her story becomes a powerful meditation on female autonomy, the price of rebellion, and the enduring conflict between individual desire and societal control. The central tragedy of the novel occurs when Dinah's brothers, Simon and Levi, murder her husband Shalem and massacre the men of Shechem while they recover from circumcision. This event, briefly mentioned in Genesis 34, becomes, in Diamant's telling, a horrific act of fraternal betrayal motivated by toxic masculinity and religious fundamentalism rather than concern for Dinah's honor. The author expands this biblical footnote into a devastating exploration of familial violence and its generational impact. The brothers' violence stems from their inability to accept Dinah's sexual autonomy and their father's diminished authority in Canaan. Their extreme reaction reveals the fragility of patriarchal power. It must be constantly reinforced through violence. Simon and Levi's anger became as much a part of them as their names, Dinah observes, noting how their resentment festered long before the massacre. The brothers had always been inseparable, feeding each other's righteousness and rage until it consumed them both. Their determination to protect their sister masks a deeper anxiety about their own position within the tribal hierarchy. The massacre itself is portrayed with unflinching detail, emphasizing both its brutality and its cowardice. The brothers wait until the men of Shechem are at their most vulnerable, recovering from the ritual circumcision they underwent as a gesture of peace and unity between the two peoples. This calculated timing transforms what might have been presented as an act of vengeance into an act of pure treachery. The streets run red with blood as Simon and Levi move methodically through the city, killing not just Shalem, but every male they encounter. The aftermath of the massacre transforms Dinah from a joyful bride to a traumatized widow. Covered in her husband's blood, she confronts her father and brothers with a powerful curse. Jacob shall never know peace again. He will lose what he treasures and repudiate those he should embrace. This curse, which comes to fruition throughout the remainder of the novel, represents Dinah reclaiming her voice and moral authority. The blood on her hands becomes both a symbol of her trauma and her transformation, marking her forever as separate from her family. Dinah's rejection of her family after the massacre is absolute and irreversible. She refuses to return to the Red Tent or participate in family life, instead fleeing to Egypt with her mother-in-law. This exile represents both trauma and liberation. She escapes the confines of her tribe, but carries the psychological wounds of violence throughout her life. In Egypt, she must rebuild herself from the ashes of her former identity, learning to trust and love again in a foreign land. Through this pivotal event, Dinah explores how religious and cultural differences become pretexts for violence, particularly when women's sexuality challenges male authority. The massacre serves as a brutal reminder of how women's bodies become battlegrounds for male honor and tribal identity. The author draws parallels between Dinah's story and countless other women throughout history whose autonomy has been sacrificed on the altar of male pride and religious orthodoxy. Dinah's journey to Egypt with her mother-in-law Renefer marks her transformation from victim to survivor. Egypt represents a new beginning, where she can reconstruct her identity away from the trauma of Shechem and the constraints of her father's household. This section of the novel explores themes of cultural displacement, motherhood, and healing through meaningful work. In Egypt, Dinah discovers she is pregnant with Shalem's child. Her pregnancy becomes both a connection to her murdered husband and a source of future hope. When Renefer claims the child as her own, renaming him Ramoz instead of Dinah's chosen Bar Shalem, Dinah experiences another form of loss. Yet, she accepts this arrangement, understanding that her son will have greater opportunities as an Egyptian prince than as the child of a foreign midwife. Dinah's gradual integration into Egyptian society highlights the greater freedom women enjoyed there compared to Canaan. She observes with wonder how husbands and wives sat side by side, speaking to one another, even touching, impossible to imagine in my parents' home. This cultural contrast underscores how patriarchy varies in intensity across different societies. Through her work as a midwife, Dinah rebuilds her life and reclaims her sense of purpose. Midwifery becomes her salvation, a way to connect with other women and contribute meaningfully to her community. I was not unhappy, she reflects, finding contentment in her garden, her son's early years, and her growing reputation as a skilled birth attendant. The arrival of her brother Joseph in Egypt as Zaphnath-Paaneah, Pharaoh's right-hand man, forces Dinah to confront her past. Their reunion is complex. Joseph represents the family that betrayed her, yet he was not directly involved in the massacre. Their tentative reconciliation suggests the possibility of healing without forgetting. Dinah's final romance with the carpenter Benya represents her ultimate healing. Their relationship, based on mutual respect and shared grief, offers a counterpoint to both her passionate first love and the patriarchal marriages of her mothers. We had everything we needed in each other, she reflects, suggesting that true partnership, rather than possession, defines healthy love. The novel concludes with Dinah as an elderly woman, her hair streaked with silver, reflecting on her extraordinary journey from Jacob's daughter to respected Egyptian midwife. Her final meeting with her adult son, Ramos, now a prominent physician in Pharaoh's court, unfolds in a garden filled with pomegranate trees, a poignant echo of her childhood. When she finally reveals the truth about his father's death and her past in Canaan, Ramos's initial rejection burns like a physical wound. Yet Dinah finds unexpected peace in speaking her truth, understanding that the telling matters more than its reception. The weight of untold stories permeates the novel's closing chapters. In her moving epilogue, Dinah addresses the reader directly. "My heart brims with thanks for the kindness you have shown me by sitting on the bank of this river, by visiting the echoes of my name." This intimate breaking of the fourth wall serves multiple purposes. It emphasizes the novel's mission to resurrect silenced female voices, acknowledges the reader's role as witness, and suggests that storytelling itself is an act of resurrection. Dinah's legacy manifests not through sons who might carry her bloodline forward, but through the hundreds of women whose births she has attended and the countless stories she has preserved. Her life becomes representative of innumerable women throughout history whose experiences were deemed unworthy of recording in official chronicles. These women maintained their wisdom and traditions through whispered conversations, shared rituals, and the strong bonds of female community. The novel argues that history remains incomplete without these silenced perspectives. Like the river Dinah references, where the visible surface is proof of unknowable depths, historical narratives contain vast untold stories beneath their documented surface. Through reimagining Dinah's story, Diamond invites readers to consider what other women's voices might be recovered from the margins of historical and religious texts, from the spaces between official records, and from the oral traditions passed down through generations. The red tent itself emerges as a powerful metaphor for this alternative historical narrative, a sacred space where women's experiences, from menstruation to childbirth to sexual pleasure, are honored rather than erased or deemed unclean. Within its crimson walls, women share their joys, sorrows, wisdom, and power without fear of judgment or censure. The novel challenges modern readers to create contemporary red tents, spaces where all voices, particularly those historically silenced, can be heard and valued. These might take the form of women's circles, writing groups, or any gathering where stories can be shared freely. Through Dinah's tale, the novel suggests that the act of recovering lost voices is not just about correcting historical records. It's about healing generational wounds and reclaiming the power of female narrative traditions. Her story becomes a bridge between past and present, inviting readers to consider their own role in preserving and amplifying voices that might otherwise be lost to time. The Red Tent ultimately celebrates storytelling itself as a form of resistance against erasure. Throughout the novel, women preserve their histories through oral tradition, passing tales from mother to daughter within the sacred space of the Red Tent. These stories provide models of feminine strength, practical knowledge about survival, and spiritual traditions honoring female deities that patriarchal religions sought to suppress. Dinah's narrative voice, direct, intimate, and unapologetic, represents the reclamation of authority over her own story. By refusing to be defined by the violence done to her, she transforms from object to subject, from victim to witness. Her determination to tell her truth, regardless of who listens, models how silenced voices can reclaim their power. The novel's structure mirrors this theme by beginning with mother's stories before moving to Dinah's own. This matrilineal approach to history challenges the patrilineal genealogies of the Bible, suggesting that women's connections to each other are as worthy of documentation as men's inheritance lines. Through Dinah's relationships with women across cultures, from her Canaanite mothers to Egyptian midwives, the novel suggests that female solidarity can transcend tribal and religious boundaries. Women's shared experiences of childbirth, love, loss, and survival create connections that challenge the divisions men create through war and religious dogma. By reimagining a biblical story from a female perspective, Diamant participates in a long tradition of feminist revisionist mythology that seeks to recover women's experiences from male-dominated texts. The novel's enormous popularity suggests a hunger for these recovered narratives among contemporary readers. The Red Tent reminds us that history is always incomplete when it excludes women's voices. As Dinah tells us, if you sit on the bank of a river, you see only a small part of its surface. The novel invites readers to look beneath that surface, to imagine the rich, complex lives of women throughout history whose stories were never recorded, but whose experiences shaped the world as profoundly as the deeds of kings and patriarchs.